God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We all know living in this world of ours, there's always a little bit of miscommunication. Well, this morning we got a little bit of that miscommunication. Our Old Testament reading, there's two options for the day. One from Jeremiah 7 and one from Jeremiah 8. So you can probably guess what? There was a little bit of miscommunication. My sermon's actually going to be based on Jeremiah 8, but I will tie the two for you really quickly. So in Jeremiah chapter 7, you have God calling the prophet Jeremiah that says, talk to the people. They keep coming to the temple. They keep saying, hey, we're in the right place at the right time, but their hearts are far from the Lord. And how does the Lord know this? The Lord, A, knows their hearts, but how do they know that their hearts are far from the Lord? It's very easy. They weren't doing the things that the Lord had commanded them. You see that in the text. You see how God says, hey, you're sort of making this temple somewhat of a den of robbers. Picked up also in our gospel reading for today. Now hang on to that moment. Because Jeremiah in chapter 8 is continuing that theme. That theme where the people are in a little bit of denial. What does it mean to be before the Lord God Almighty? What does it mean to gather in His house in this time and in this place? And so let me just pick up one verse from Jeremiah chapter 8. It's verse 11. They have healed the wounds of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Let me finish tying these together. You see, it wasn't just the people who were misinterpreting God's word. It was also the leaders during this time. The leaders that would say to the people, that's okay. The leaders that would say, don't worry about it. The leaders that would sit there and say, just be happy and go along with the flow and follow everything else. But God knows our hearts. He knows the hearts of the people. And he says, wait a minute, my people are wounded. My people are struggling with sin. My people are in pain. They don't need a message of denial, but a message of the truth. So God calls Jeremiah to say, they have healed the wound of my people lightly by saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Think of it this way. If you had a headache and it really was bothering you, would you go to the emergency room and ask them to put your leg in a cast? That may sound kind of strange. What would that do for my headache? But you could say to your neighbors, hey, I went to the emergency room. My headache's all gone now, right? Because my leg is in a cast. In our Old Testament reading, God is declaring through the prophet Jeremiah that the same thing has occurred. The people are wounded. The people are sick. The people need healing. And the wrong medicine was applied. In today's world, we would call that medical malpractice. The wrong treatment applied to the problem. So what was the wound that God is declaring through Jeremiah? And what's the proper treatment? The answer, what does Scripture say? Because we know that Scripture does interpret Scripture. So we're going to take a look at what God says to the prophet Jeremiah to explain this. God does explain more about this wound. So we go to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 20. For thus says the Lord, your hurt is incurable, and your wound is grievous. So we have words like incurable and grievous. Sounds like a terminal condition with no hope. This isn't some little headache take two aspirin and it'll pass in 20 minutes. No, this is something of a terminal condition. One can see why the people would be wanting to say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Because no one really likes to have that kind of bad news. No one wants to hear, you know, things like, you have terminal cancer, or your condition is not something we can treat. No, we all want the cure, and we want it quick. But what happens when the leaders don't have the cure? What happens if they're sort of just making up things to give you a whole bunch of warm fuzzies to make you feel good? They're going to continue dishing out warm fuzzies to make you feel good. But notice that God says, this is grievous. This is terminal. God notes that they applied the wrong type of treatment. They failed to realize what God would also say through the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 30, verse the first part of 17. And here's God speaking. He says, I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord. Oops. The religious leaders, the people of the day, they missed it. Or they were trying to purposely avoid God's treatment. Because notice what God says. He says, you've got the wounds. You've got the aches. You're struggling with sin. I will take care of it for you. I will restore you. I will give you the proper treatment. And what is God's treatment? From another prophet, a contemporary of that of Jeremiah, let me just bring in Isaiah, who is speaking about the coming Savior in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. But he, referring to the coming Savior, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. The healing from our wounds comes from the wounds of another person, not your neighbor, not people who live in a different country, but come from the wounds of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it was Christ's death on the cross that brings about forgiveness of our sins. It was Christ's wounds that brings the healing that we need. It was Christ who brings restoration and peace and fellowship with God. And so Christ needs to suffer, die on the cross, to appease God's wrath, to bring the healing that we need. So now we know the wound, we know the problem, we see the answer. It comes from Christ. But now, how does one receive the healing that comes from Christ? Well, we go back to Jeremiah, strangely enough, chapter 8, verse 21. For the wound of my daughter, of my people, is my heart wounded. Mourn and dismay has taken hold of me. And God then begs a question. Is there no balm in Gilead? By the way, that's also another beautiful hymn in Lutheran service book, but let me continue here. Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of the daughter of my people not been restored? Is there no balm in Gilead? Balm is that healing medicine. You hear God crying out in anguish, you can sort of say eternally, going, wait a minute, I've given you that healing, and you've missed it. I've given you that restoration, and you're not paying attention to it. You're not using it. And you would have to beg the question, why are the people not using it? And the only conclusion I can kind of come up with is they were following the ways of the world, but more importantly, their denial was really great. You see, as human beings, we realize that there are some parts of the truth we don't want to hear. We would rather have all the warm fuzzies. We would rather have everyone like us and love us. We don't want to hear that there's something wrong with me. We don't want to hear that I made a mistake. We don't want to hear that I'm not perfect. And so we would rather be in denial than to be facing up to the truth. I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of God's glory. Because our denial is great, we bypass the healing. Because if I'm not sick, I don't need to go to a doctor. If I'm not a sinner, I don't need God's grace. If I haven't done anything wrong, I don't need to go to church, right? If we realize, however, our wounds, if we realize that some of our wounds are even self-inflicted wounds, not just wounds from other people's sins against us, we may feel those and may have a great deal of a pity party for them, but no, if we realize that our wounds are because of our own sinfulness and are self-inflicted, then we need to realize our sins, our own self-inflicted wounds, would mean that we are truly at fault. And we don't like to go down that path, do we? Martin Luther notes in his large catechism regarding, one of those real tough topics, confession. No one needs to drive you to confession by commanding it. Rather, we say this, whoever is a Christian, or would like to be one, has the reliable advice to go and obtain this precious treasure. If you are not a Christian and desire no such comfort, we shall leave you to another's power. Ouch, those words hurt. They hurt because it smacks us in the face with the reality, I'm a sinner. It smacks us in the face of reality that I have self-inflicted some of these wounds. Is there a balm in Gilead? Yes. But do you realize it? The people of Jeremiah's time were not wanting to use this healing balm. They would rather seek comfort from the world instead of the comfort that God brings. Even today, when we get to the point of confession a few minutes ago, some people may become anxious. Why? Well, confession means we've got something to confess. But we live in a world in our own sinful nature that wants to be in denial. We live in a world that says, I want to hang on to some of these sins. Why? Because my sinful nature doesn't want to let go. We live in a society that doesn't want to admit that we're wrong or say that we're sinful. Even one of my kind of favorite authors, J.K. Rowling, in the book The Order of the Phoenix, notes, there are some wounds that run too deep for healing. She gives the impression that we hang on to these hurts, we hang on to these things to the point of it tears us apart. And this may be true for humanity. We do hang on to other people's sins and allow it to tear us apart, since we're still struggling with our own sinful nature. But for Christ, who is the true healer, he can overcome those wounds. He brings healing to the wounds of the sins we commit, and he brings healing to the wounds that others commit against us, even when we struggle to admit those wounds. Our Lord says, I still have the healing medicine. So we confess our sins, as we did at the beginning of our liturgy, noting that we need that healing which only Christ can give. And so Christ in turn gives his wounded body. In Matthew chapter 26, we may remember these words. We're going to hear these words again. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Remember that same body that Isaiah talked about, being pierced for our transgressions, wounded for us. But let me continue. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." There we have it, that healing balm. Because there is Christ, in his wounded body, pouring out of his own wounds that blood and his healing flesh. And we need this healing balm, as Martin Luther notes. "Therefore, the Lord's Supper is given as daily food and sustenance, so that our faith may be refreshed and strengthened, and that it may not succumb in the struggles, but become stronger and stronger. For the new life should be one that continually develops and progresses, but it has to suffer a great deal of oppression. For times like this, when our hearts feel too sorely pressed, this comfort of the Lord's Supper is given to bring us new strength and refreshment." Where is that healing balm of Gilead? It is in confession. It is in Christ coming to you in word and sacraments. And so in Jeremiah chapter 17, it says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved." And Jeremiah correctly notes, "For you are my praise." Welcome to the divine service, where Christ comes in flesh and blood to bring healing. He serves us, and that is why we are here. Our praise, as Jeremiah notes, is the recognition of that healing that comes from Christ. Where is Christ? He is in the healing word and sacraments for you, bringing you true and everlasting peace. No, you're not going to hear me like the people of the Old Testament saying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. No. You want peace. We need that peace and healing. Here it is. Through Christ, as he comes to us, through bread and wine, and through his word. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.